Well, it's so good to be home, and we had just a wonderful time. I found out just beforehand that I ended up that I had to do my nephew's funeral, which was really wonderful because, you know, they were, his wife runs some of the different events that go down on the East Coast, or I'm sorry, on the South Coast, along Biloxi. And so we had a whole bunch of people that had nothing to do with the Lord in there. And it was amazing how half the room was one section, the other half were all the family and the church people. But what an amazing opportunity just to preach Christ. You know, it's so wonderful that when they admit that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then the pressure's off, and now you just have an opportunity to share on the goodness of God. And we don't know what God's going to do with that word in each and every one of them, but there's one thing for sure. They heard how to get saved. They heard about the love of God. They heard why they were created, how they were created in the midst of it. So we don't know where we're going to be and what we're going to be called up to do. And then we went down for the wedding. I almost ended up doing the wedding too because the pastor got sick. And they weren't sure if the other one was there. And if he wasn't there, then I would have had to do the wedding. But the other pastor of the church was there, so that was wonderful. And we got to enjoy the wedding. And, you know, it's a geographical oddity these days that you can't go from Biloxi, Mississippi to upstate New York without going through Nashville. We used to do it all the time. Now that my wife has a granddaughter down there, we're not allowed to. And it was wonderful because every place that we go, you know, God always does something. And we got there and the sink drain was plugged, or the tub drain was plugged, so we had to cut the lines out and replace them while we were there. It always gives me something to do. And, you know, we got to work for your food, so if we're going to stay at his house and eat, you got to do something, right? But a wonderful time with our granddaughter, with my son, with the family in Mississippi, Bren's family and stuff. It really was a refreshing time, along with a lot of wonderful memories that we made. And so we're so thankful for everybody here too, for everybody that was involved in the Flag Day Parade. Thank you so much for serving. Thank you for all that you have done to be a witness out on the street. That's where we need to be. Amen? Okay. That's where I like to be. I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, it's where we have to be. He didn't call us to sit in these four walls and hang out until he comes. He called us to be a witness out there. And so thank you for everybody that worked so hard night after night over there, building everything and then down and packing everything away. And we're just so grateful for the wonderful leaders that are here that just stepped up and got everything accomplished. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, a time with God early in the morning is the only relationship that does not deplete you. Tell your neighbor, say, you deplete me. Some people, I'm not saying that. The reality is that there's needs and stuff. There's always stuff that people need. You know, we're always sowing and giving and building and strengthening and all those things that we're doing. But when you spend time with the Lord, it's the one time you'll never be depleted when you stay with him. When you sit with him, when you spend time with him, when you rest in him, when you speak to him, when you worship him, you never come away depleted. You always get stronger in his presence. Amen? Always, always, always do. You know, one night a wife found her husband standing over their newborn baby's crib. Silently, she watched him. As he stood looking down at the sleeping infant, she saw his face, a mixture of emotions, disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment, and skepticism. He would stand back, shake his head, and say, "Amazing," while smiling from ear to ear. Touched by his unusual display of deep emotions it aroused, her eyes glistened as she slipped her arms around him and said, "A penny for your thoughts," she whispered in his ear. He said, "Isn't it amazing when you take the time and really look close how anyone can make a crib for only $45.99. It's the difference between men and women, amen? You know, right now we live in a culture that's not very high on men. But we are, because we live in a kingdom culture, amen? It's not the kingdom of this world that we're a part of. We're the kingdom culture. We're we're a part of the culture of the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, where we stand with the word of God proclaiming his name, his purpose over every man in this house. If you're a young man and you don't have children yet, get with other men that have. Because you're going to need some help. But you know, this world and our country and this culture, and it really is around the world, whether you look at the sitcoms or whatever it is, they frown on men, masculinity. They look at it in a poor way. Every sitcom you look at, the man is an idiot. Every single time. The children know it all. I was just talking to somebody that works in the prison. They've given all the authority to the inmates. And any time a guard makes a mistake, they'll fire him in a heartbeat. But the inmates, they can spit and punch and beat and do whatever they want to do. And nobody can do nothing to them. So they've given the authority. They've reversed everything. And that's how you destroy a country from the inside out. Right? You take away the authority of those that God has given authority to. And so we're here this morning and, you know, just thinking about how good a God that we have and how powerful and mighty he is and how he's called us to walk out these days. And you know, one of the things that the government always tries to do, I want to remind everybody, the state is not your father. It is not the state's job to take care of us. It's not the way it works. And we look at it in, you know, they started back in whatever the new society they were going to build, and they started saying that we'll take care of you as long as there's no man in the house, violating the word of God very quickly. And now we're seeing the effects of fatherless homes, where I was reading one of the articles, and I think it was 82% of men that are in prison right now are come from fatherless homes. And so our job is to step up and be fathers, not only in our own homes, but in the kingdom of God. Amen? No matter where we walk. You know, with feminism and statism, both of them are trying to destroy the nuclear family that God created. Both of them. The state wants to say, hey, listen, we'll take care of you. You know, we don't snore. We don't care what you do. We don't care who you're with. We don't care where you go. We don't care about anything. And that looks very pleasing to some. And they come in, and the feminists, they want complete and total annihilation of the male authority. Any kind of patriarchal attitude, they want to destroy it. One of the, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The home is the place where children are forged for the future of the government and the church. That's where they're made, in the home. The state has no charge, responsibility, or jurisdiction as to how to raise them or form them as future citizens. State has no authority in your house. The state does not come in and tell you how to raise your sons and daughters. As men and women of God, the only one that has that authority is the word of God. I don't know what authority you've allowed in there, but I want you to know, no one comes into your house and tells you how to train your children. We make a decision to send them to the government schools, and they can do what they want while they're with them. And that's a decision that every family makes. But they can't come into your house and tell you how to train your child or how to prepare them. In the home, men and women are trained to lead. In the home, we train those who are qualified to lead in the church, and it is in the home that leaders are prepared for society and to lead society. Everything they need is in the Word of God. And as men and women of God, we need to train them in the Word of God at home. That's what God has commanded in His Word for us to do. And you see, that's where America has gotten off base, and around the world, where they backed off training children in the Word of God at the house, because we're busy. Listen, if you're too busy to train your children in the Word of God, then you're way too busy. It's just that simple. James Alexander said, speaking about the issues of men, he said, he is the head. He is such by divine and unalterable, by an We'll start over. He is the head. He is such by divine and unalterable constitution. These are duties and prerogatives which he cannot alienate. There is something more than precedence in age, knowledge, or substance. He is the Father, the Master. No act of his, nothing in his character can fail to leave a mark upon those around him. And that lines up with the Word of God. And with the feminists and with the state and everybody else, they struggle with that because they don't see men as the authority in the house and they want to remove that as much as possible. And if you're a father here, I want to encourage you, stand in your home on the Word of God. Your wife wants you to. Honey, do you want me to? Okay, yes. Your wife wants you to. I just wanted to check. Because we're here to honor God. I'm not here to honor the state. I'm here to honor God. I'm here to train and equip my children to do the work of the ministry. I can train them how to work hard. We can train them how to be good students. We can train them how to be athletes. But above all, I want to know they're going to heaven. I want to know that they're saved to the uttermost and that for all of eternity, I don't have to wonder, guess, or worry. And I know, according to the Word of God, that His Word never returns void. So when we train our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, their lives are set on a course. Look at, they all make mistakes. Prayerfully, not as many as we did as adults. But that Word is going to keep working. Even when we don't see it, He's working. Isn't that what we sing all the time? Even when you don't hear it, that Word is working. Maybe you've been listening to your kids and you don't hear the Word of God. I want you to know it's still working on their lives. Amen. And men, whatever we've been chasing outside the Word of God, I want to encourage you today. Listen, you're the greatest heroes the world has ever seen. Ladies, you're the greatest heroes also. Men and women of God, we're heroes of faith. That's who we are. As long as we walk by faith. As long as we walk according to the Word in faith. Because we can't be leaders in the faith community and not walk by faith. Right? Because if we're not going to look at the Word of God, then we're not going to lead. It's that simple. Because what gives us the authority to lead is the Word of God. And then God commands how we're supposed to live in our houses. We're here to honor God. Just as Jesus said, it is not, I don't do what I want to do. I do what the Father has commanded me to do. I do what I heard and I saw in eternity, and that is to glorify the King. That's my job, that's my purpose, and that's ours. And we do that in loving one another and loving those that God has entrusted into our care. And then the men and the fathers, you know, in this house, there's a charge for each and every one. That as the days grow darker, to not surrender your God-commanded position due to our culture tearing the Word of God out and blaming men in the house of being nothing but oppressive and destroyers. Let me give you some proof of what they're trying to do. One feminist, her name's Linda Gordon, she said the nuclear family must be destroyed and people must find better ways of living together. Whatever its ultimate meaning, the breakup of families now is an objectively revolutionary process. No woman should have to deny herself any opportunities because of her special responsibilities to her children. Families will be finally destroyed only when a revolutionary social and economic organization permits people's needs for love and security to be met in ways that do not impose divisions of labor or any external roles at all. That's what feminists want. Destruction of the nuclear family. Here's another one. She said, under patriarchy, every woman's son is her potential betrayer and also the inevitable rapist or exploiter of another woman. That's how feminists think. That's what they have this on their websites. This is what they're proclaiming. This is why every show, every program, everything you see out there, all the educational systems in the colleges are ripping apart male authority because God set it up and they hate God. Has nothing to do with you. It's the Christ that's in you. They want to eliminate him from the public sector. And how do you do that? You train people that your masculinity is wrong. That we have to retrain you about all of the desire to go and conquer a mountain. You need to calm it down. You need to back down. Just sit still. Just relax. Just enjoy. Stare at that screen and we'll reprogram you the way that we want you to be. God's word says things a little bit differently. But before we get into his word this morning, you know, I know there's a lot of men that have come up through life, and so many of them have never had their fathers pray a blessing upon them. I don't know if that's you this morning, but even if it's not, I want all the fathers to stand up this morning. Come on. Or about to be fathers. My nephew's back there. She's due a couple weeks ago or something, right? Or some time ago. That baby's holding on, doesn't want to come out here, knows what kind of a life it's going to be out here. Going to have to get busy. But listen, gentlemen, we want to pray a blessing upon you. First of all, we're so thankful that you're here in the house of God, serving God, standing on the word of God, learning how to love your wives as Christ loved the church, learning how to worship without being afraid, standing before everybody, lifting up your holy hands, learning and studying how to go out and accomplish all that God has called you to do. Because we're getting closer and closer to that day when we stand before him. Amen? We're getting closer to that day. But I don't know, maybe you never had a blessing prayed over you. And that's what we want to do this morning. Because I don't know how many of you never lived up to the expectations that were spoken over you. Maybe you feel like you have failed in certain times and areas in your lives. I want you to know you're not a failure this morning. You're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You are the men that God has called for this time and this season to stand on his promises. Amen? Let's pray. Come on, ladies, just stretch out your hands, and you other young men, stretch out your hands. Father, we just come and we pray. Lord, according to your word, that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And Father, we're so thankful for the men that are here. And you said that the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Lord, we pray for integrity in the heart of every man. Lord, that the integrity would come from the word of God, that their yeas would be yeas and their nays would be nays. That no matter where they walk, they would walk as men, not fearing man, but fearing our God. Lord, that we would walk in that freedom, that no matter who comes before us, we treat them the same. We look at them as sons or daughters, and we proclaim the goodness of God over them. Lord, you said, the Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. Just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you. Just as a man carries his son on all of the road which you have walked until you came to this place. And Father, we thank you that you're the one that has carried each one of us. Lord, we pray for each man that's here and the ones that are watching online, the ones that are teaching in class, whatever it is. Father, we do agree that the blessing of the Lord is upon each and every one of them. Lord, we pray for a hungering and a thirsting for you and you alone above all else. Father, that each man in here would desire to dive into your word, grab a hold of your word, proclaim your word, live out your word, so that everyone around them would be transformed by the power of your word. I thank you, Father, for putting such a love for you first and foremost, a love for the brides, oh God, those beautiful ladies that you have blessed us with, and each one of the children. Lord, that no matter how young or how old they are, that we would always continually build them up in the most holy faith. Let our mouths never stop proclaiming the goodness of God. Let our hands always be given to that which is righteous. Lord, let our feet run after righteousness, and let us be those that give. For you are a Father that gives. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my friends, for my brothers today, for the warriors of righteousness that are standing here. Lord, that they wouldn't back down, they wouldn't turn to the left or to the right, but they would stand with great grace, with great mercy, and great strength on the promises of God. And I thank you that each one of these men will lead other men into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for the gifts that they are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, men. Now listen, as we were praying, one of the things, our God is a generous God, amen? He's a giving God, right? If we look at John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave. He's a giver, right? Did you guys each get a little bag today? Did you get your bag of candy? Wonderful. If you got a bag of candy, give it to somebody else. Show your generosity today, all right? And listen, you don't need it anyway, trust me. The mark of a father is always generosity. That's our desire. That's our heart, is to give. And we got that on us from the King of Glory. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. We're going to start there this morning. You know, as we look at Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6, we see God's plan. He sets things up. And then he talks about three main areas, right? He talks about wives and children, and he talks about slaves, each one of them. And he gives us understanding in it on how we're supposed to walk. And gentlemen, we are so grateful for you. Don't ever doubt it. He said in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. And you know, it goes back to love your wife. Love your wife. Love your wife. Our society is destroying that and throwing that out too. If you're not happy, just go find somebody else. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Scripture says, love your wife. How? Even as Christ loves the church. He loves the church even with all of our faults, doesn't he? Look at us. What a motley looking crew we are. Huh? Horrible backgrounds. Horrible. Our resumes are terrible before Christ. Some not so good in Christ. We've made a lot of mistakes. Amen? And yet the Father's love never ceases and it never changes for each one of us. And this was the Father's desire for each one of us in marriage. And when the world is ripping it apart and making a mockery of it, saying that now you can marry a man, you can marry a woman, you can marry an animal, you can marry whatever you want. This is where they're going and where they have been. Listen, it doesn't work that way in the Word of God. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm sticking with my wife, a woman, for the rest of my life. Just so we're clear. That's what God has ordained. Everything else is an aberration of the truth. It's an aberration of the truth. And so many times they've told everybody, you shut your mouth and don't even talk about it. Everything else has to do with a feeling. Has to do with a feeling. Now, it's not popular to preach about this stuff. It is here. It is here. It's not about condemning anyone, but it is about condemning sin, which is what the Scripture calls it. Scripture calls it an abomination. He said we're to love our wives as Christ loves the church. That's all he said was wives. In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, God establishes marriage. He establishes man and woman. He created them. He establishes marriage. He's the one that has the final authority on it for all eternity. For all eternity. He said, a man will leave who? His father and his... Okay, see there he clarifies it one more time, doesn't he? You'll leave your father and you'll leave your mother. That's it. Nothing else does he delineate in the scriptures. So a husband will leave his mother and his father and he will cleave to who? His wife. Oh, he clarifies it again. It's amazing how easily it is to see God's pattern and purpose when we look at the Word of God. This is what he wanted for us. He said, listen, if you're going to walk through life, Paul said, I wish that you all could be like me and stay celibate. But he said, if you've got such passion that burns on the inside, he said, then it's better to marry a wife. Okay? Just so we're clear. We're instructed through the Word of God so that we might sanctify her. Right? Wash her in the Word and sanctify her. Set her apart. She's set apart to do the will of God. God's got a plan and purpose for her. Our job is to wash her in the Word. We're to talk about the Word, study the Word, pray with one another, encourage one another in the most holy faith, building each other up. That's our job as husbands. That's who we are. That's what God's called us to do. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my wife. Yeah, but I know you. Look, we've all got flaws and strengths and weaknesses. Amen? We've all got them. But if we'll walk out the Word of God and we'll agree with the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, we'll have what the Word of God says. Because he said that he might sanctify her, set her apart. In my mind, I set my wife apart from every other woman on the planet. Everywhere else. To the point where we've taught our boys this, each and every one of them, that when you're walking down the street, to bounce your eyes because of the perversions that are out there in the way that people want to dress. It's all used by the enemy to try to distract and destroy. That's what he does, right? I was made for one woman. She was made for one man. That's it. Now, look, we know that there's divorce. There's no condemnation. Please hear my heart in this. But we're just saying what the Word of God says. Right? There's no condemnation in any way, shape, or form. That's not what we're doing. But I want to encourage you men to once again remind yourself of that day that you got married, of that day that you said, I do, of that day where you made a covenant with your God. Because if a man or a woman will break covenant with God, then the other person doesn't have a chance. Because the covenant we make with God is one that we stand by. Amen? And then that covenant rolls over into the covenant that I made with my bride. But he said he might sanctify her or set her apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. There's many things that we talk about and discuss, and yet the Word of God doesn't come up sometimes. You ever go through a dry season in your family? A dry season in your marriage? Where everybody is busy and the Word of God isn't shared. And the prayer time starts to diminish. We've had those seasons in our lives. When we got so busy and so silly with our time that we stepped away from the priority. And I want to encourage you men this morning. There's one priority, and that's magnifying the King of Glory. And that's spending time with Him and then sharing that with your family. If we're going to be men of God, we have no other mandate outside the Word of God. Man's ideas or ideals cannot supersede the Word of God. And our upbringing must come under the Word of God. Everything that you learned outside the Word of God in your upbringing has to come under the Word of God. Has to be surrendered to the Word of God. Has to be destroyed by the Word of God. If it's not according to the Word of God, you're going to have to let it go. Yeah, but that's who I am. No, it's not. Well, that's what I know. That's what you used to know. It's time to renew your mind. Yeah, but this is what my father taught you. And if it's outside the Word of God, you're going to have to let go. The hardest thing to do in life is to learn, unlearn, and relearn. Can we all agree on that? We're still trying to unlearn a whole bunch of stuff, right? But if we don't know what the use is, abuse is inevitable. And we know that. We know that. We've said that for years. The only way that we find out where the use is according to the Word of God. And what freedom there is when the Word of God reigns and rules preeminent in each one of our lives. how much joy comes in. We're instructed to read the Word of God and spend time discussing it with our wives and to live it out before them. Not only discussing it, but living in such a way that God is glorified. Not just for our wives, that's like going to school. Learning how to love our wives. Why? Because when we step out into public, that's when we're going to college. That's when it's supposed to be used so that we're glorifying God in the way that we love one another, and therefore others say, I want that for my marriage. Who goes walking around saying, man, I really want brokenness for my marriage. I just want my marriage destroyed. That's what my plan is. Only those that have got their eyes on other things even think along those lines. I didn't get married to destroy it. I got married to build it. We get married to build a relationship, first of all, with Christ. Young people, if he or she doesn't know Christ, run away with everything you've got. Run with everything you've got. Ask your friends to tie you up hand and foot and drag you away if you don't have the strength. Call your family members. Tell them to bring the chain and the pickup truck and the winch and drag you out of that relationship. Whatever it takes, if they don't know the Lord. If we look at 1 Peter 3:7, it says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, that's a loaded statement. Live with your wives in an understanding way. I still don't understand my wife after 34 years. But that's what makes marriage fun, isn't it? So it makes it incredible and interesting. And we still have to ask questions. What did you mean by that? That's a good question to ask. Josh, it's a good question to ask. All right, Jake, it's a good question to ask, okay? What did you mean by that? Because all I saw was, how can anybody build a crib for $44.95? I had no idea you were talking about the child that was in there. We've got to ask these questions, and I'm telling you what, it'll change your life. But it says, live with your wives in an understanding way, realizing in the way that God has created them that's different, that's wonderful, that's perfect, that's beautiful, that's powerful, mighty. Live with them in an understanding way, understanding what God's purpose is for them in their lives also. And then our job is to nurture that, right? Sanctify, set them apart so that other women's lives are changed and transformed by the power of God in them. Our job is to fend off the darkness, to fend off the enemy, to make sure that we stand on the ramparts and say, nobody comes in my house. And it's funny how we change when we have a child. When we went down and visited my son Nick, we're sitting there talking, and he said, you know something, Dad? He's holding this little baby. I said, what? He said, I'll kill people. Anybody comes near her to do her harm, I'll kill somebody. I said, welcome to fatherhood. We all feel the same way. Nobody messes with our babies. Nobody touches them. You know, I feel still feel the same way, and you're 32. I'll still fight and lay my life down to protect what God has entrusted into our care. And we fight most of the time on our knees. We fight on our knees morning, noon, and night for every one of our children. That's what God's called us to do as men of God, as fathers in the house of God, as women, as mothers in the house of God. Whether you're a single mother or a single father, it's a moot point. It's about praying for those that God has entrusted into our care to raise them in the fear and the admonition of Him. This is what His desire is for each and every one of us. If we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, right? First of all, we're going to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church. He laid His life down. And then he says in Ephesians 6, 4, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Do not deal with your children out of your own hurt and anger. Don't do it. You need to get healed from whatever you went through and then train them in the fear and the admonition of Him. You know, some have tried to make men out of boys by beating them, pushing them so hard. I'm going to make a man out of you, boy. The only thing you do is make another wounded human being in that sense. Because, you know, pushing, yes, we need to push young men. Push them out of your basement, especially if they're 30 years old. But we need to push young men in righteousness. We need to lead them in a place of righteousness, but not to try to make them tough in that realm where they can take a beating and you don't care and you're mean towards them. You need to get healed. Some have constantly been berated because of their own insecurities, and some have just plain hated their own children and despised them. We've had to deal with some of that over the years. In the house of God, our job is to mend the brokenhearted. Amen? That's what that anointing is for, is to heal the brokenhearted. So he says to discipline them. You know, that correction, not out of anger, but out of love. Our job is to love those sons and daughters the way that God has loved us. It's in part for training them for life, because there's going to be victories and there's going to be defeats in all of our lives. Amen? Which one changes you or trains you better, the defeats or the victories? You got to think about that one. Both of them are advantageous for all of us. Both of them are advantageous. We learn a lot through our defeats. We learn a lot through our victories too, when you got to stay focused and build and strengthen, and whether you're running a race or playing a game, whatever it is, or going for a job and you had to study to take a test, whatever it was, those victories count a lot, but so do the defeats. And how to handle defeat is something that we have to teach our young men. We were at a ball game. One boy struck out, started cursing and using the F word, and one parent out of the crowd said, "Hey, watch your mouth. There's kids here." He used the words again and told her, "Stay out of his blankety blank blank face." And he walked into the dugout and nobody said a word to him. This is where we need to train our young men and instruct them and discipline them. I don't know what you would do, but if that was my child, baseball season's over. Chopping wood has begun. Start with that first 37 acres, and when you're done there, we'll talk again. Don't even talk to me till you're done. We'll have enough firewood for everybody in the church for a year. We discipline in righteousness and in love, but we don't allow our children to do whatever they want to do. When we were in Mississippi, it was funny. One brother came up to me. I was praying for another young man. He's starting to preach, and so I took him aside at the wedding. We were just standing there chatting. I was encouraging him and started praying for him. And another one of the brothers came up and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "When did parents all of a sudden become afraid to discipline their children? Oh, I can't take their iPhone from them. They'll scream and cry and stomp their feet." He said, "This is what we hear all the time. When did parents become afraid to train and discipline their children?" I don't get them upset. We don't want them up. Yeah, I do. I want them upset. If they're doing wrong, I'm going to get upset. And therefore, you're going to get upset, because I'm going to take whatever you've got out of your hands. And if that gets you upset, that's your problem. And the more you get upset, the longer you won't have it. Real simple. But you see, training, instructing, and but I thought, it happens like that in Mississippi too? You're kidding me. He said, "Oh yeah, it's bad." He said, "I hear people every single day worrying about their children getting upset, getting mad at me." Listen, if you're a father, "Hey Jake, your kids are going to get mad at you." "Oh yeah, I know you. All right. You're a man, and they're going to get mad at your wife too. Because the minute you introduce a word that says no, they learn it real quick. You want to take a bath? No. You want to go to bed? No. You want to eat your broccoli? No." We have to encourage them in yes. And so that discipline or that disciple our children, it's in the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's got to be every aspect of it. And I know this is a rudimentary teaching, but can I tell you, in America, this is like prophetic teachings from another world. Because men have gotten so afraid to stand on the truth and stand on the word of God that they back away from their priestly duties in their homes. And they're like, oh, whatever, just let her do it. That's exactly what the feminists want and the state wants. It's exactly what they want. A bunch of weak-minded, willy-nilly men walking around saying, let her do it all, whatever she wants, whatever she says. Look, that happens on Mother's Day, all right? We all agree on that one. And maybe Christmas morning, too, but this is what God's instructing us. He said, look at you men, you husbands, fathers, don't provoke them to anger. He said, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction in the Lord. It's part of the training for life. Whatever they put their hands to. Fathers, teach your boys to work. Teach your girls to work. We've got a state that says everybody sit around and we'll take care of everything and then we'll manipulate and control everything you ever do. Teach your children to finish each task. Teach them to finish each task. Hey, go in and put all the glasses in out of the dishwasher. And then you go back and they only put 5 out of the 6. We'll go back and put the other one away. I put most of them. Put them all away. Turn off the television. Put your phone down. Shut off the iPod. Dig your earbuds out. Whatever you got to do. Go take care of that glass and put it up in the cabinet. You're such a pain. Yes. I'm a pain for the enemy. He doesn't like me because we're going to do what's righteous. We're going to train and equip in the ways of righteousness. And we're going to walk according to the word of God. And you're going to finish each task that you start. Oh, is the world looking for men and women who have integrity and finish what they start. That when they say they'll be there at a certain time, on time, ready, that they are there. See, if you're going to lead, you should be there 15 minutes early. It's just the way it is. And then he says you're supposed to instruct them in the Lord. Gentlemen, it's not the woman's job to do the instruction. One of the biggest issues in the schools, there's not enough male teachers. It's a problem. That male authority in every area of life. Men backing off and backing off in their own home. Christian men backing off in their own home, not instructing each person in the Word of God, sharing it with our wives, sharing it with our children. Look at it, it's about realigning once again. We all get off. But if we come in, we're reading the Word of God. I pray that, you know, my children always would remember when they get up in the morning and I'm sitting there reading my Bible early in the morning. That me and their mother go for our prayer walks and we're spending time in prayer together. Those are the most powerful things they'll ever remember. The Word of God, praying and studying the Word of God rather than everything else that we teach them to do with their hands. That's my desire. Instructing them in reading the Word, how to read the Word of God, how to study the Word of God. Teaching each one about their creator and creation and their purpose, their value, how to teach each person how to handle different situations. Fathers, we need to lead our men. When our boys fail, when our girls fail, we need to lead them through and say, come on, we're going to go back and repent and apologize for the mistake that you made. We got to stop covering for our children. But I'm just trying to make it easy on them. You'll ruin them. We train them in the Word of God, in the ways of the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And we know it's talking about a widow, but it's insinuated in here that you're supposed to work and take care of your own family. Amen? See, once again, God's word saying the state isn't the one that pays for everything. Husbands, your job is to work and take care of your family. He said, if you don't take care of your family, then you're worse than somebody. You're not even saved. You're worse than someone that's not even saved. If you want to sit on that couch and you're healthy, look, there's disabilities and we understand all of that. All right, different ball game. But if you're a healthy male and you're just lazy and you don't want to work, shame on you. that simple. Because he said we're supposed to take care of our family. He said he'll bless the works of our hands. Right? He'll bless the works of our hands abundantly, above all you can ever ask or think. He wants to bless. And for the last scripture there, John 21:15, it says, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And that's the focus. Do you love me more than you love your wife? Do you love me more than you love your children? Do you love me more than you love anything else on this planet? Because if you do, then you'll train them in the way that I spoke. You'll love your wife the way that I've loved the church. You'll train your children in the fear and the admonition of me. You'll have and you'll always be able to prosper because you'll be generous in all that you do. If you love me more than you love these, stand up this morning. Gentlemen, I want you to know we're thankful for you, each and every one. But we are in a war, and it's for the souls of your sons and daughters. It's for that next generation. It's for the souls of your grandsons and your granddaughters. And so giving them everything they ever wanted as a grandparent is a very fun thing to do. Can't wait. And can't wait. But it's not the best thing to do. So then we have to honor the parents of the grandkids. Great-grandmothers don't, but grandmothers and grandfathers do. No, I'm just kidding, Mom. Great-grandparents do too, but we have to honor them in that. And can I just tell you, it's one of the funnest things to ever do is to raise children. Marriage is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Raising kids is the second hardest thing you'll ever do. Playing with grandkids, that's the easiest thing you'll ever do. See, God blesses us all the way through, each and every time. And then, gentlemen, listen, if you're studying the Word of God, if you're loving your wife and sanctifying her and washing her in the Word, if you're training your children in fear and the admonition of the Lord, don't expect it to go perfect when there's no mistakes. There's lots of them that we'll make. But then we're also supposed to grab a hold of someone else and encourage them in it. The older men teaching the younger men. If 82% of the guys that are in prison don't have a father, there's a lot of young men out there that need spiritual fathers. And if the only thing we do is focus on me and mine, then we've missed what God has called us to do. So I want to encourage you to be looking around your neighborhood, around your area, because you've been called to an area. And to find someone else that's in need, that needs a man like you. Ladies, that needs a woman like you. A young lady, older lady, doesn't matter. Younger man, older gentleman, doesn't matter. When there's a wound or when there's something that's lacking, our job is to come and bring the words of life into their lives and transform them and therefore change the whole area. That's what God's word says to do. So gentlemen, you are the frontline men. You're the ones that want to go and climb to the top of a mountain. For what purpose? To get there. Just because it's there. It's fun stuff. You want to get on something and go 150 miles an hour. Why? Because you can. And it's a thrill. You want to jump off of a cliff into a pool of water. Why? Because we're idiots. No, because it's there and it's fun. We want to jump, bungee jump off of a bridge 300 feet in the air. Not me, but some men do. They want to jump out of perfectly good airplanes. Sheesh. Men have problems. And God put them in us to be the risk takers. That was one of the things in one of the statements of the feminists too. They said this risk taking has to be transformed, has to be changed. We gotta work that out of you. God put that in us. Guys, take risks. Take risks. Take risks by standing up in a public square and preaching Jesus Christ. Take risks by praying for somebody you've never met before. They just happen to be walking by with a limp and you say, hey, can I pray for you? I was taking my prayer walk this morning, and I walked past this lady down at the end of Columbia Street. I come walking up there, and I say, "Good morning, ma'am. What a glorious day it is." She said, "It is." She said, "Happy Father's Day if you're a father." I said, "I am. I've got five." She said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Happy Father's Day." You know, can I just tell you, it encouraged me. I don't know this lady from anybody. And I always want to encourage people. And I was like, "Thank you." So then I see this guy jogging. I was like, "Hey, happy Father's Day." He stopped. We had a good conversation. He said, "You too." And then he's taking laps around Hudson. I'm cutting across. I see him coming again. "Hey, hang on a second. We got to talk again." All right. It's a good day for talking and walking and jogging and speaking the things of God. Then another gentleman came walking by. I said, "Hey, you have a happy Father's Day." He said, "How did you know?" I said, "Because it's Father's Day." I don't have a clue whether he had kids or not, but I'm saying it to every guy that's older. Chances are you're going to get it right most of the time. Can I tell you just an encouraging word, gentlemen, when you walk out of here? Ladies, an encouraging word changes men's lives. Changes them all. And they run towards that which is encouraging. So that's encouraging them in Christ. Gentlemen, when you walk out of here, enjoy the day. I don't have a clue what we're eating today, but it's going to be good. I don't know. We're going to go to my brother's and spend some time with the family over there at his lake. It's a little chilly to go swimming today. But we're going to go over and just encourage one another. So encourage somebody today when you walk out of here eternally. Amen? Thanks, gentlemen, for standing. Thank you for proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. Thank you for standing on the Word of God. Thank you for loving your wives the way that Christ loved the church. Thank you for training your children in fear and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for serving in this house. We appreciate you, and we're grateful for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we walk out of here today, Lord, we're reminded of what the enemy's trying to do. But Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. And we've already won every battle we ever get into because the Lord goes before us and he's our rear guard. Father, no matter what, we're going to spend eternity with you because we've given our hearts to you, we've given our minds to you, we've given our bodies to you. We said, you are our God of every area of our lives. And we thank you, Father, for watching over our men, keeping them strong in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the children that they're going to raise that are going to be able to stand and say, follow me as I follow Christ. For their children, oh God, that will one day call them blessed. Lord, for the children that they're going to raise, that they will stand up and say, come here. I know you're all beaten, battered, but my dad's got the answer. My mom's got the answer. Come to my house because I want to show you the love of God that I've lived in. Father, we thank you that today we stand before the ultimate Father, Abba Father, Daddy God. And we're only able to walk out these promises because of the power that you've given us through the blood of Jesus Christ and your Holy Ghost. We surrender to you, and we thank you for the freedom we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Again, happy Father's Day. Let's go build that kingdom.